I'm a very lucky man. An undeserved, I don't deserve the blessings of God, I'll tell you that. Let's pray. It'd be a good idea to pray. Heavenly Father, I just... You know, Lord, how many hundreds of hours we prayed for this day. Hundreds, thousands. How many thousands of people, Lord, have prayed for years and years and years. You're a faithful God, Lord. Though we're faithless, yet you're faithful. And I just praise you, God, for your goodness. And I praise you, God, for your mercy. And I praise you, God, that in spite of me, you hear, you care. And even though I may never understand your ways, maybe only scratch the surface, doesn't change. You're God. You're the same. And I just pray, Lord, in the few moments we have tonight, you touch us with the word of God. Touch us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought it would be fitting to do a simple message tonight entitled, Is It Really Worth the Time to Pray? Is it really worth it to pray? Is praying really worth it? You ever ask yourself that question? You ever been going through something in your life? I don't know if it's a job situation or a health situation or a relationship situation. Or maybe a combination of all three. And you really ask yourself the question, is it really worth my time to pray? Does prayer even make a difference? Does God really even care? Psalm 77 came to mind today as I was thinking about this topic. I cry out to God without holding back. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted towards heaven, pleading, there can be no joy for me until God acts. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for His help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days long since ended when my nights were filled with joyful song. I search my soul and I think about the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will He never again show me favor? Is His unfailing love gone forever? Have His promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has He slammed the door on His compassion? You ever read that psalm before? You ever thought about that psalm before? Maybe you never knew that psalm was in the Bible, but you felt those things emotionally in your life. And you've asked yourself inside, where's God? Do my prayers make a difference? Does God hear my prayers? Is anybody listening? Or they just hit the ceiling? And perhaps, excuse me, I'm still stuck from Berlin. Thanks for praying for me, by the way. I got stuck there because of the volcano for 17 days. And I was sick 14 of the 17 days. Sicker than I've been in years. So I still have this lingering cough. But have you ever asked yourself or wondered to yourself, I wonder if I prayed long enough. I wondered if the reason I didn't see God act was I stopped praying. What you witnessed tonight was literally an answer to thousands upon thousands, I would estimate over 100,000 prayers to God. From people all over the world. I have a friend in Berlin who has, you know, this is his idea, not mine. But he's very dear to me. He has a picture of Jessica on his desk. And every day for the last 6 years, he anoints it with oil and prays for her. I have a group of ladies that I know. I don't know them all personally. I know a couple of the prayer group leaders in Honduras that meet every Wednesday morning. Been praying for Jessica for 6 years. I know people in this church in Evergreen, Bloomington, who did 40 days of prayer for Jessica. Besides years worth of prayers. And I can tell you that I personally have spent at least an hour every day for the last 6 years praying for my daughter. And I'd like to read you a couple passages in the scripture tonight. Because my hope and my prayer tonight is that you walk out of here a different person with regards to prayer. And a different person with regards to God. And that the rest of your life, you recognize that God wants to do things for you in response to your prayers. Over and over and over again in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, as He walked the earth, invited us to pray. Ask Me. Ask Me. Whatever you ask, I will do. Ask it in My name. Pray. Till now, you've asked Me for nothing. Ask, and it will be done for you. Now I know, it's hard to believe. But I'd like to read you a couple passages from the book of Luke that have been particularly critical in my own life. In Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you has a friend? Will go to him at midnight and will say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine who's on a journey has just come and I have nothing to put before him.' And he from within the house, your friend, will answer, 'Don't disturb me. Go away. The door is now closed and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and supply you with anything.' I tell you that although he will not get up and supply him anything because he is his friend, but because of your shameless persistence and your insistence, he will get up and give you as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. And he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And he who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask and continue to ask Him?" Now I want to talk about this for just a moment. First thing I want to ask you is, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight? Are you the kind of person that will bother a friend? This really struck me today as I read this because I always just kind of passed over that first sentence and went to the meat of the text. But basically what Jesus is saying, first of all, is how many of you have the guts to pester your friend till your friend gives you what you need? Most of us don't. Most of us won't. Here's the thing. If we have a friend and they're at bed and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're stranded out on the road, or we need something, most of us are going to think to ourselves, "Geez, I don't really want to bother my friend. It's late. I don't want to put anybody out." I know there's some people in this auditorium that even curl up in the back seat of the car and just rest till the next day. Or they call a tow truck because that's their job, but you wouldn't call a friend. But Jesus goes on to say, he uses the illustration, and he says, well, look, you really need help. So you go to this friend because you need bread for a visitor. And your friend shouts out, "Hey, get away from the door. I'm sorry. I'm your friend, but I'm tired. The kids are all in bed. I don't want to wake them up. Leave." Now, many years ago, my family and I were visiting a friend here in the cities. And on the way home, we got about 2 miles from the home, and it was the worst rainstorm I've ever been in my life. Some of you may remember, but 494-335W, they flooded. Those big stone concrete barriers, right as we were driving, they lifted up and they began to float and turn. So I saw an opening. I saw one of them turn. It left a big opening in the highway as it went down into a little gully that was already full of water. So I cheated and I turned over. I went north on the highway and I went back to this friend's house. By the time we got to her house, it was about midnight. There were no lights on the door. It's thundering. It's pouring down rain. Cats and dogs. We received 14 inches of rain in about 8 hours here in the cities. And I pounded on the door, and I pounded on the door, and I pounded on the door. Finally, they didn't hear. The neighbor heard. The neighbor's looking out. What are you doing out there? It was a woman. An older woman. And she had her phone by her and her flashlight pointed on me. And I said, lady, I'm trying to get my friend up. Can you call him on the phone? I can't get home. I'm soaking wet. My kids are in the car. My wife, we need to stay somewhere. Here. She goes, oh, sure. What's the number? So I'm yelling out the phone number. This was in the olden days before there were cell phones. Like, 14 years ago. And so finally, I'm pounding, she's calling, and finally, my friend, I see a light, comes to the door, and I'm just soaking. He goes, what's going on? I go, what's going on? The highways are flooded, we can't get home, can we sleep on your floor? I did what I thought any father would do. I pestered my friend for the sake of my family till he opened the door. Notice what Jesus said. I say to you, ask and keep on asking. And that's the key there. Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. And then I'd like to close on this last story. This is one of my favorites. I'd like you to think a lot about it. It's the story of the persistent widow. And again, Jesus tells this story. And it says, Jesus told the story to his disciples, showing them that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit praying. He said there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and he cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him. My rights are being violated. Help me. He never even gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on and on and on and on and on, he finally said to himself, look, I care nothing for God. I don't care what God thinks. I care even less what people think. But this widow will not quit badgering me. I better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her constant nagging. Then the master said, Jesus, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he was, is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? Won't he answer? I assure you, he will. But how much of this kind of faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? Now, I want you to know something very interesting. Now, I want to tell you something very honestly. I've been through this trial for a long time. This is without question the most difficult trial of my life. I didn't always handle it well. I didn't go through it perfectly. There were a lot of very difficult moments for me. There were times that I was spirit-filled. There were times I was anything but spirit-filled. I'm not claiming to be perfect at all. I want to make that really, really clear. But I can honestly say to you, as God is my witness, that no matter how difficult it got, how crushed to the ground I felt, I kept asking. I kept asking and pleading and begging and begging and begging. Sometimes there were times I was so weak, I was so overwhelmed, That I just lay in my bed looking at the ceiling. Help me, help me, help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Stop this, God. Stop this, God. Stop it for an hour. That wasn't all the time. But many times there were very specific things that I was praying for: strength, for grace, for healing, for insight. Lead us, show us, heal our skin, change the situation. Lord, just a little bit better. Doesn't even have to be all the way. I mean, this is remarkable. I can't even believe Jessica's up here. When she left the hospital 16 weeks ago, she was on 13 different medications. Today she's on none. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, I do not know how that happened. For years, she's been on different pain medications. Oh, this thing has happened kind of at the speed of light, and there's been a lot of people involved that have helped, that have been literally God's divine appointments and God's people at the right time in life. Why it didn't happen before, I don't know. Maybe, just maybe, and I shudder to think this, but maybe God just wanted to find out if we'd all shut up. If we'd all just quit asking. And I was really struck by this passage today because this is what hit me. Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? But I thought he was talking about prayer. That's the point. Prayer is faith in action. That's what God is looking for. Sometimes we think to ourselves, well, if I was a person of faith, I'd never get upset. I'd always be patient. I'd always rejoice. I'd always be thankful. And this isn't what this passage says. This passage says, look, I want to return and I want to find people who are so tenacious. They're like this widow. They bug me to death and they will not shut up. Because there's something they want. There's something they're asking me to do. And their faith is exhibited by their open, talkative mouth. That's profound. Now I want to tell you something, honestly. Now I don't know if you know Jesus Christ here tonight, or if you're a new Christian, or if you've been a Christian for some time. But I want to tell you, as God is my witness, God, in His time, will answer your prayers. God is absolutely faithful. I have seen God come through for money. I have seen God come through for strength. There were times I just did not think I could even walk down this aisle to come up here and share. And God somehow came through. But I want to tell you this. You can't quit asking. You can't quit asking. And if there's anything that I believe the Lord wants to do in our lives, in my life, is make us people who refuse to quit asking. Who are like this widow, who are persistent, who are insistent, brazenly insistent. God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to act. Do something, Lord. There can be, I'll just say with the psalmist, there can be no joy for me until you act, Lord. I need action. I need you to act. I need you to come through. I need you to work. I go back over this last 6 years and I think about all the different things I've had to pray for. I just came from Berlin. About 2 months after my daughter got sick, my co-pastor at The Rock decided to leave. He was a very dear friend of mine, very dear. And the pastor of the church in Berlin who planted it, who's a very dear friend, decided to leave. And all around me, there were two other very important relationships, people I work with nationally. They decided to walk. Everything just seemed to be falling apart. And the church in Berlin was just going through unbelievable turmoil. Unbelievable. There was not one day from the moment that I found it out, that I did not stop praying for that church. Now others were praying. It was not just my prayers, and it was not just my prayers for my daughter. But I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And I went over to visit. I'll never forget the first visit. And I was flying over in the plane, and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to find. I mean, there's a really good chance that everybody here is just going to hate my guts because of something they've heard. But God, give me the strength. God, make me useful somehow. God, use me to somehow turn this thing around, because there was a lot of money invested, a lot of people's lives. All of a sudden, the number of the dear people who moved over started moving back. And I get over there to find that the situation is really bleak. It's really bleak. And I found this little cemetery. This church is in East Berlin, and all of Berlin was bombed, but I found this particular cemetery. East Berlin was not improved much when the Russians controlled the DDR. And there were old bombed out tombstones, big chunks of the granite gone from bombs and bullets. And I would walk in this graveyard praying, God, revive this church. God, do something in this church. God, please work. Please, God, do not put us to shame. We raised $750,000. These dear people that are left over here, God, please come through for them. Here we are. The money was supposed to run out literally 2 years after my first trip there. It's now been 7 years. There's still $80,000 left in the bank. They have a facility that's better than the one they originally had for half the money. And we just recognized two German pastors. It was just unbelievable. I mean, I just went home that afternoon. I had to walk. I was really sick, and I just wept. I was like, God, this is just unbelievable. I started to reflect on my daughter. I started to reflect on what God has been doing and some of the amazing people that God's had involved in our lives and her life. I don't deserve any of it. But I can tell you honestly, and I could tell you a number of stories tonight. I'm not going to. It happened for one reason. It happened because people were praying. And I believe in my heart, with all my heart, that if lots of people had not been praying, these things wouldn't have happened. They just wouldn't have happened. I want you to think about what could happen in your life. What could happen in your tomorrow? What could happen in your next month? What could happen the rest of this year? What could happen in 2011, 2012? I know that many of you here, you have family members that you'd like to see come to Christ. There have been family members I prayed for years. There have been friendships. My wife and I spent 6 years praying for one particular couple. Today, both that man and woman know Jesus Christ. We weren't the only ones praying, but I can tell you, I did not miss a day for those 6 years praying, praying, asking, 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 and asking. You can ask. A little child can ask. That's one of the beauties of little children. They just keep asking. You go into Toys R Us, they just keep asking. Unless you have a little faith of a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. To such, the kingdom belongs to little children. Why? Because they ask. They ask. This widow asked. She asked. God honors asking. God is asking us, inviting us, ask me, ask me, ask me. I prayed for spouses for my children. I prayed for jobs for my children. I prayed for money. When we first moved here, my wife and I made a list, and we prayed exactly for the house that we moved into. We prayed for a house with a big yard, a house with an attached garage, a house with a fireplace, a house with two bathrooms, and a house that was between $500 and $550 a month. A couple of my friends who were here, when they heard of it, they were just trying to be kind. They laughed at me. They said, Mark, it's impossible. You're not going to find it. I came up here for 3 weeks straight, 3 weekends in a row. My friend took me around. There was nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing. Finally, the last weekend, the last hour of the last day that I had to be in the cities, he said to me, well, here's one. It says they want $525 a month. It's probably a dump. Let's go see it. It was 2264 East Old Shakopee Road. One block from the Mall of America, an acre of land, sandy blonde brick house, two fireplaces, knotty pine basement, finished basement, 2,300 square feet, attached garage, 50 trees on the property. The minute we drove in the driveway, I said to my friend, "This is the one." And he looked at me weird. "This is the one. This is the one." The landlady lived in California. I couldn't talk to anybody. And she wanted a letter written as to why you should have the house. So I wrote a letter and I told her why. Told her about my family, told her the care we take of the house, and the purposes for which we would use it. And then I went home not knowing if we'd get it, went about our business. She gave us the house. God wants us to be specific. God wants us to be persistent. God wants us to be persistent. And when you think you've asked enough, keep asking. Keep asking until it's done. Keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, even if you're asking and you're not in the spirit. Even if you're asking and you're mad. Even if you're asking and you're frustrated. I don't care what you are, just keep asking. Through tears, through thanksgiving, through no thanksgiving. Ask, ask, seek, seek, knock, 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 knock till the door goes down. When I was 5, my family and I'll close on this story. We lived in California. And we lived in a town called Camarillo, outside of Los Angeles. And I always remember this house because it was the house with all the rocks on the roof. It didn't have regular shingles. It had a bunch of quartz rocks. And next door to us was a Hispanic family. And they had 3 little girls. They also had a television. And that's what the story's about. We didn't have a TV. And every Saturday morning, they would invite me over to watch TV. Well, one Saturday morning, I went over, knocked on the door. And the little girl said behind the door, "Go away, Mark. You can't come in today. We got work to do." Well, I didn't like that answer. I know this, you're not going to believe this story. I'm serious, I was 5 years old. So I kept pounding on the door. "Go away, Mark, you can't come in today, we have to clean." I kept pounding on the door. I pounded on the door for an hour till there was a hole in the door. Yeah, I did get a spanking for that. That was back in the days when spankings were a good thing. I pounded and I pounded and I pounded and I pounded. And eventually after the hole, they did open the door, but they didn't let me in. That's the difference between God and 3 little girls. Their father wasn't too happy. My father had replaced the door. But it was a valuable lesson to me. I'm very serious. I want you to know that spanking, it didn't do much for me that day. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because I'm still pounding on the doors. I'm still pounding on the doors. There's still things that need to be done. There's things I want God to do in my life. Things I want God to do in my family's life. Things I want God to do in this church's life. And come hell or high water, I'm going to pound a hole in God's door. I'm going to die pounding a hole in God's door. And that's the point. And you know what's really profound? That's what Jesus is looking for. That's all Jesus is looking for. That's faith to God. That's faith to God. You know, I've never even evaluated, not one time in my Christian life, have I ever stopped and looked at myself and thought, "Now wait a minute, am I really believing?" Of course you are, you idiot. You wouldn't be asking if you didn't believe. I don't sit around and evaluate, but was that a believing prayer? Was that a believing prayer? Bible never says to do that. It says ask. Keep asking. I'm asking because I really think God's there and someday, somehow, some way, He's going to do something. If not, tell you what, He's going to be a little embarrassed. Because I'm his little kid, and I'm asking for an egg, and you better not leave my basket with no egg in it, God. Now, you may think this is crazy. You may think I'm a little off the wall, and that's okay. You go read these for yourself. But I'm telling you, in the arena of real life, this is what matters. You ask, and you keep asking, and you keep asking, and you keep asking. You keep asking for that relative that you want to see come to Christ. You keep asking for those things that God has put on your heart. You keep seeking those things that you won't understand. You keep knocking on those doors that you think need to open. You keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. Keep talking to God. And I'd like to really challenge you as we close in prayer tonight to ask yourself, what is it that I'm going to ask God for the next 30 days? What is it I'm going to ask God for the next 90 days? What am I going to keep asking God until He does it? See, many of us here, we don't have much of an active prayer life simply because, well, we're really not asking all that much. And secondly, we're not absolutely convinced that that's the whole point. If I keep asking, well, that's what God says He wants me to do. God says He will come through. So I just decided a long time ago, even with my daughter, you know, there were times I was like, you know, she'd ask me, Dad, do you think I'm ever going to get well? And I said, Jesse, I don't know. I mean, she's not 100% well. There's still a long road here to go. But you know, 90 days ago, 30 days, 60 days ago, she was flat on her back, crying in pain all day. All I know is I'm going to keep asking, Jesse. I'm going to keep asking. 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 Even if I feel my heart's breaking, I'm going to keep asking. Father, I just thank You tonight for Your word, for Your power, for the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, I don't deserve Your blessings. And Jeremy's right. This is something that we have just been seeking You for. And thousands of people, Lord, thousands of people at New Hope, at the Urban, at Bloomington, at Lakeville, at The Rock, at Rock Berlin, the Honduran churches, my sister churches, a Great Commission, Lord. I know one pastor, Rick, was telling me the other day, he said, Mark, he told me in tears, I prayed more for your daughter than I did my own kids. I don't know where I'd be, Lord, without the people of God. I owe them a debt of gratitude. I'll spend the rest of my life trying to repay. But I'm so grateful, Lord. And I pray that the lesson of prayer, there are many lessons in this whole trial, but this particular lesson of prayer would never be forgotten by any of us. And that we'd ask and keep on asking. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight.